This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, you can go to my website and contact me through that, or you can contact me by regular mail. And remember, this program, as well as a weekly meditation, is on the website. There's other information there that you might find helpful as well, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now today we want to continue looking at the miracles of the Lord Jesus. And again, the reason we're looking at the miracles of the Lord Jesus is for much the same reason that we looked at the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled when the Lord came the first time. These miracles of the Lord Jesus give us confidence that the Lord really is the Son of God and that we can depend on what he says. And we know that according to Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, we have to understand, hear and understand the message, and then we have to put our confidence in what the Lord has said. When we believe what a person has said, we're believing the person, and we are told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We read that, of course, in the story having to do with the conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. So now today we want to continue with the miracles of the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at the 20th one where the Lord walked on water. Last time we looked at the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. It was miracle 19 and miracle 24. And the reason we looked at those two miracles together was so that we could compare the numbers, because it was obvious that when the Lord fed the 5,000, he started out with less loaves and ended up with more baskets left over than when he fed the 4,000. And we made the spiritual application that when we are feeding on the Word of God, if we look at food as the Word of God, as the manna from heaven, as the Lord Jesus Christ, as we feed on it, the more of us that are feeding on it, the less we really need of that manna to have a whole bunch to take home. And that's why we have conferences and other gatherings where we can together meditate on the things that God is teaching us through his word about the Lord Jesus. But today we want to look at the miracle of the Lord walking on water, and this occurs immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. And if we were to read about it, we can read about it in Matthew and Mark and in John. And if we read all those passages, we would find out that after the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord realized that people wanted to take him by force and make him a king, and it wasn't time for that. And so he departed into a mountain, and then this miracle occurs. And so I'm going to read from Matthew 14 and verse 21. And the reason I'm going to read from that section is because while this is recorded three times, there's only one time that we read about Peter walking on the water to the Lord Jesus and almost drowning because he got his eye off the Lord. That is left out of the account in Mark, and it's left out of the passage in John. So Matthew 14 and verse 21 says, "Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Now, as we look at this parable, it's obvious that the actual events happened, but there's also, as we've often said, spiritual teaching associated with the miracle, and we call that allegorical teaching, where the miracle itself becomes the basis for something that we can understand in New Testament terms. It's a little broader than the miracle itself. Now, in John's narrative, we find that they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king, and we read that in John 6 and verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. So Matthew is the only one who tells the story of Peter walking on the water, and the question I've had is, why is that in Matthew's gospel and why is it not in the other gospels? And I'm not clear as to the absolute reason for this. I'm going to make some suggestions this morning. I've looked at numerous commentaries and I have not gotten any help that satisfies me from the commentaries. But I think that when we look at this story, we recognize that in Matthew, the gospel was really written for the Jewish people and has to do with the kingdom. And a lot of it has to do with the coming literal kingdom that will be established when the Lord comes back after the tribulation period. And we know that the mountain often represents kingdoms, and the Lord went up into a mountain. In a sense, he also went up into a spiritual kingdom. He went up into heaven allegorically. He went up into heaven, and while he was in heaven, the disciples were down here in this boat, and the boat often represents fellowship. The fellowship of the church, the fellowship of a body of believers. And so they were in the boat, and they were in the night season. And when the Lord is gone, it is always the night season. We know that he's the light of the world, but right now he's gone, and we're living in the night season. The evening and the morning were the first day, and this parable or this allegorical teaching occurs just before dawn, just before the dawning of the day. In other words, just before the Lord is about to return. And I know he's about to return for the church. And that's a meeting in the air for those who are saved. When 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we'll be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But that's not something that the world will see or understand, if I understand it right. But at the end of the 7 years that follows the coming of the Lord for the church, there will be a coming of the Lord. He'll reveal himself to this world. And that's when the kingdom of Israel, when Israel will become a part of the kingdom. And there will be a small remnant of people left at the end of the tribulation period, a small remnant of Israelites left at the end of the tribulation period that will be truly converted and who will say, why, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And when they are converted, then those people will become the nucleus of the Lord's kingdom on earth, this millennial kingdom we've often talked about. So why was it that in the Jewish gospel, Peter went out walking on the water? Well, my suggestion is that perhaps Peter represents the Jewish people who had rejected the Lord, and that they weren't, as a nation, a part of the fellowship that is being described here. Now, I understand that the early church was composed of Jews, and I understand that the early apostles were Jewish, and that the whole of the New Testament is based on the fact that there were Jews that received the Lord. But as a nation, They rejected him. And I think Peter is representing the nation of Israel, who would like to believe that they're worshiping God, but they get caught in the storm at the end of the dispensation. And I suspect that the storm has to do with the storms coming during the tribulation period, and they're about to sink. And it's only when they confess that Jesus is the Messiah that they will in fact be saved and brought back into the fellowship, into the boat. And so the other disciples really represent everybody else that's in the church age. And mostly we know that it's the Gentiles that seemingly were blessed when the Jews rejected the Lord. And I'm talking nationally, not individually, with regard to that. Now, that's my suggestion, that he represents the nation of Israel while those others in the boat represent, in fact, the Gentile nations and all others who have received the Lord, which includes many devoted Israelites who have been converted and made to realize that the Messiah that was crucified was the Son of God. Now, it appears that as a result of their understanding what has happened here, that these people did understand that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah they were looking for. He was the Son of God. And one wonders if the disciples themselves had really understood that until after this miracle had occurred. But the real point of this miracle is that during this dark period, when the Lord is in heaven waiting to come back, praying for us, and I believe that he is praying for his own, and he's praying for the world to receive the truth that he is the Messiah. While that's happening, there's storms, and the storms get bad. And during those storms, we think that the Lord has forsaken us sometimes. And we can look at the storms from the standpoint of the church in general, and we can look at the storms from the standpoint of our individual lives. And there are times when we think that the Lord has forsaken us and that we're going to be destroyed by the storms, but the Lord has his eye on us all the time. And that's what I want you to understand from this parable. The Lord saw them, and when he saw them struggling, he came to them on the water. He was able to overcome the storm. And when they saw him, they didn't recognize him. They were so discouraged, they didn't recognize him. But he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And if you're saved today, and no matter what storm you're going through, that's the message I want to leave with you. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. But folks, we first have to understand that the Lord is who he claimed to be, and that he died for our sins in order to be of good cheer. And when the storms come, to not be afraid. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for your salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We just pray in his name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.